Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Now on WRAL, the former Fayetteville chief of police says city leaders created a hostile work environment during her tenure. We take a closer look at the accusations.
And looking hour by hour, temperatures are headed down. I'll show you how cool it will be and what time the rain arrives this afternoon.
Also, the search is on for a driver after a person was hit by a vehicle and likely killed in Raleigh.
Temperatures are more than 20 degrees cooler than yesterday, and some showers are on the way. Good afternoon. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has a look at the timeline for this afternoon's showers from the WRAL weather patio. Elizabeth.
Very exciting to be out here debuting the WRAL weather patio here at noon. We take a look at dual Doppler 5000 radar, and there's the rain. We've been talking about this and tracking this now for several days, and you can see it back to the west around Charlotte up toward Winston-Salem, and that first band starting to creep into the western part of our viewing area. Right now we're looking at cloudy skies, of course, here on the patio and all across the viewing area, especially from the triangle area northward. Lots and lots of cloud cover here in Durham currently. Our temperatures right now 62 degrees. It's been a fairly mild start, but we're not going to see any more of those 80 degree days that we saw, of course, for the last several days. We're looking at a northeast wind at about 10 miles per hour right now. It is blustery here as we're starting to change things up from the warm temperatures we saw yesterday to the cooler temperatures that we'll see now. Here's a look at the visible satellite, and you can see some clearing down to the south, but of course we're going to see this band of rain moving through, and that band of rain will increase the cloud cover and bring us a few light sprinkles. Here at lunchtime, starting to see that moving into the viewing area. We'll see that continuing to push eastward. By the time we get to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's sitting right across the triangle and back towards Southern Pines. It continues to slide eastward into our southeastern counties at 4 o'clock, and then off to the south and east as we get into the evening. And then it looks like we may end up seeing a good bit of clearing as we get through into Saturday and into Sunday. So we're going to take a look at that. We'll walk through that hour by hour coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Former Fayetteville Police Chief Gina Hawkins claims while she was the chief, city leaders created a hostile work environment. A letter making those allegations was sent to Fayetteville City Manager Doug Hewitt back in August. WRAL's Gilbert Bays is here with us right now with this story. Gilbert.
Well, Dan, here's that letter you're talking about. The Fayetteville Police Chief Gina Hawkins claims that she was the police chief, and during that time, the city leaders created a hostile work environment. And those allegations and more highlighted in this letter that Hawkins has with her attorneys, we've been able to obtain it here at WRAL. Now, the letter says since being hired in 2017, members of the city council have created a hostile working environment towards her as a Black and Hispanic female. The letter outlines an incident in 2020 during a Zoom meeting after the death of George Floyd, where Mayor Mitch Colvin continuously screamed at the chief regarding police operations. Then in 2022, council members Johnny Dawkins and Mario Benavente made what she believed to be discriminating comments against her. Hawkins also claims the discrimination continued after she retired in January of this year. The letter says Hawkins has reason to believe that a member of the city council contacted a prospective employer to recommend that she not be hired based on some of the events outlined in this letter. Hawkins did not get that job. Hawkins' attorney says that they have not reached out to the EEOC or other federal agencies about the allegations in this letter. They're hoping that they're able to settle this matter without going to court. We've reached out to Gina Hawkins, Mayor Mitch Colvin, and also the two city council members that we mentioned, all declined to make any comment on the record because this might be headed to court.
Some strong charges there. Gilbert, thank you.
A hit-and-run investigation is underway after a man was hit this morning on New Bern Avenue in Raleigh. The crash happened near North Raleigh Boulevard. Sky 5 flew over the scene after 8:15 in the morning. It appeared someone was killed. A crash reconstruction unit was called in, and investigators remained on scene for hours. Still no word yet on who that man is. We're asking police what they're doing now to track down the driver.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, the skeletal remains that were discovered along Bragg Boulevard last month have been identified. This is Devontae Lawrence. On October 16th, the Fayetteville Police Department responded to a wooded area on Bragg Boulevard in Fayetteville to a report of skeletal remains. That is where they found his body. Lawrence was reported missing in April of 2018 by his mother. The chief medical examiner said there was no evidence to suggest a homicide, and the Fayetteville Police Department is no longer investigating this death as a homicide.
Thanks, Michelle. New developments this noon in a murder investigation we've been following since last month. 19-year-old Talia Watson was shot and later died from her injuries. WRL's Ken Smith joins us now live with new information about this investigation. Ken?
Jeff, a third person is now under arrest in connection with Watson's death, and it's this man. 26-year-old Kevon Hicks is charged in the October 21st shooting that happened on Sawyer Road in Raleigh. Take a look at video from that scene when officers arrived back in October. Police say Watson was shot and transported to the hospital in a private vehicle. She died from her injuries at that hospital. Two other women already are charged in Watson's murder. Police have not released a motive for the shooting. It remains an active investigation. Hicks is due in court Monday in connection with this case. Of course, you can count on WREL as we cover this case and be in that courtroom. We'll be having that story online and, of course, on air.
Ken, thanks for that update.
New information about a deadly crash on Spring Forest Road in Raleigh. This happened yesterday shortly before 3 p.m. Police tell us 38-year-old Rodney Lee was driving eastbound in an SUV, ran a red light, and collided with a car driven by 67-year-old Mary Garris. Garris died. Her husband, Mark, was taken to the hospital. No word on his injuries. Police charged Lee with misdemeanor death by motor vehicle and failure to stop at a red light.
Crews battled a fire at an abandoned motel in Raleigh this morning. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker at that scene on Wilmington and Layden Streets. This was around 5 a.m. No reports of any injuries, and we're working to learn what caused the fire.
A scary night for people in the Halifax County town of Scotland Neck. Police are searching for a person or people who shot at officers there last night. Interim Police Chief Tommy Parker tells WREL the shots were fired near Main Street. No one was hurt. We are working to learn more about the search for the shooter. I-95 finally reopened this morning after a tanker truck crash shut down the interstate for 11 hours. The interstate was shut down between exits 33 and 41 until about 6:15 this morning. That's between St. Paul's and Chickenfoot Road. This is video showing traffic being diverted from I-95 onto US 301 near St. Paul's overnight. No word on injuries.
A huge fire in North Carolina keeps growing right now. Look at the flames on Colette Ridge. These are pictures of the fire and the emergency response. It's all happening near Andrews in Cherokee County. The U.S. Forest Service says this all started a couple weeks ago from a lightning strike. For a while, the fire was small and didn't threaten any buildings. But this morning, it is up to 4,300 acres now, plus 16 structures are threatened. Meanwhile, another wildfire burns a few miles east of that. The Poplar Drive fire in Henderson County has burned more than 400 acres. It is 30% contained right now. Several fire crews from our area have responded to that. They include firefighters from Morrisville and Orange County. And a crew from Rocky Mount is in that area this morning as well. Both of these wildfires have sparked a state of emergency for the surrounding areas.
A longtime Wake County commissioner died this week. Betty Lou Ward died Wednesday at the age of 87. She was first elected as a Wake County commissioner in 1988 and served for 28 years. Former Wake County Commissioner Greg Ford posted on social media that Ward touched countless lives in her decades of public service. Funeral services will be held December 6th.
The main thoroughfare that connects the Village District to NC State will be closed for more than a week. Brian Schrader explains why.
A busy section of Oberlin Road is going to be closed for several days. Crews are working on a water and sewer replacement project, and they're blocking the stretch of Oberlin between Pullen Road and Clark Avenue. It's going to be closed 24/7 through November 20th. Expect detours between Hillsborough Street and Clark Avenue. That main detour is going to be Woodburn Road. You can also take Enterprise Street. Now, Oberlin is a major connector between the Village District and NC State University, so you can expect some heavy traffic through that area. This is all part of a new streetscape project, and this is a rendering of what it's going to look like when it's done. With new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes, that entire project should be finished sometime next summer. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
Happening today, youth soccer players from all across the state are coming to Rocky Mount for an all-star tournament. The statewide athletics committee tournament will happen at the Rocky Mount Sports Complex today through Sunday. 47 teams of boys and girls will be competing in four age brackets. Games get started at 6 tonight.
A large crowd turned out for the annual Veterans Day run and ceremony on NC State's campus.
March, march, march.
The 5K started at 6 this morning and ended over at the Memorial Bell Tower. The different branches of the university's ROTC programs ran alongside active duty and veterans. We spoke with one ROTC runner about why he does this.
A lot of us look up to these veterans as role models and whatnot, and I think, you know, this morning is a chance for us to come out here, get together, celebrate that, honor those who passed away, unfortunately, and those who died for our country and those who are still alive.
A ceremony after the run included two speakers as well as a wreath presentation.
Closing out the trading week now, we take a look at Wall Street. Stocks are rebounding after yesterday's hiccup. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 177 points right now. NASDAQ is also up 168 points. S&P 500 also in positive territory, up 28. Next at noon, a bus crash in California sends 10 people to the hospital. What sent that bus careening into that building?
Also, carjackings are on the rise and almost all involve a weapon. The terrifying example of a recent incident in Chicago.
Plus, Dr. Ruth has a new title at age 95. Her new position dedicated to combating loneliness.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
More than a dozen people are recovering this morning after a crash in California sent a bus into a building. Take a look at this surveillance video. You can see the bus slam into a car, sent the car flying and the bus into a nearby building. This happened in Long Beach, California. Authorities say at least 14 people were hurt. 10 of them went to the hospital. Details of how badly anyone was injured have not been released. Two people who live on the second floor of that building are now out of their home. A man wanted on charges related to the January 6th riot in Washington, D.C., surrendered to police this morning. A federal arrest warrant was issued on Monday for Gregory Yetman, accusing him of multiple offenses during the riot. At the time of the Capitol attack, he was a military police sergeant in the New Jersey Army National Guard. Since the attack on the Capitol, more than 800 people have either pleaded guilty or been convicted by a jury.
A man allegedly sexually abused by a St. Louis priest is questioning why Missouri has a statute of limitation against victims of assault. In 2018, Dean filed a civil suit against former Father Gary Paul Wolken and the Archdiocese of St. Louis. Jonathan Dean said he was 10 years old when Wolken repeatedly raped him at a parish in Chesterfield. Just this summer, that suit was settled for $1 million. Dean claims the archdiocese tried to dismiss the case and points to the flaws of the state's statute of limitations.
Missouri legislators should remove all statutes of limitation for claims of childhood sexual assault. These cases need to reach trials, not be continually dismissed on legal technicalities.
In 2002, Wolken was convicted of abusing a different boy in 1997. He was sentenced to 15 years in prison and released in 2015. In 2007, he was formally defrocked by the Vatican. Two Florida deputies are in serious condition after being intentionally hit by a car. We have body camera and home security video of the incident, but it does not show the actual impact. A woman called 911 saying her son was having a mental health crisis. Deputies found him sitting in a running car and tried to de-escalate the situation, but he left the scene. He returns a short time later, driving at a high rate of speed, striking two of the deputies. The man then got out of the car and walked toward his home. That's when deputies used tasers on him and took him into custody. He faces several charges.
Most violent crime numbers dropped last year, according to the FBI, but the number of carjackings went up 8% from the previous year, with nearly 90% of those carjackings involving a weapon.
I think it went through my head, like, is this real? Is this really happening?
Yeah, this is a heart-stopping crime caught on camera in Chicago. A mother, father, and their 12-year-old daughter carjacked at gunpoint in their own driveway. No one was physically harmed, but the family is afraid to go into their own backyard now.
You know, home isn't like that place of comfort and safety that it once was, which is really sad.
Similar crimes are taking place across the nation. A Texas congressman was targeted near the nation's capital. And last month, an off-duty federal security officer in D.C. shot and killed a 13-year-old boy who tried to carjack him.
Dr. Ruth, the expert who has educated people on sex in frank terms since the 1980s, now holds a new title. Dr. Ruth was designated as the first loneliness ambassador in the U.S. by New York Governor Kathy Hochul. Hochul says the 95-year-old will be working to combat the loneliness epidemic that was sparked by the pandemic. Studies have found that a lack of social interaction is linked to a range of mental and physical health problems, such as anxiety, depression, and even Alzheimer's.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, nominations for the 2024 Grammy Awards are out, and SZA leads the pack with 9 nominations. Phoebe Bridgers follows behind with 7, and then other key nominees, as you see here, Billie Eilish, Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo, Miley Cyrus, all of whom will be competing against SZA in the Record of the Year category. They all have 6 nominations each. Categories: Album of the Year, Song of the Year, Record of the Year, and Best New Artist, just to name a few. The ceremony will take place on February 4th of next year.
I don't know if you can call it an upset because SZA is so talented, but right, not to hear Taylor Swift's name first for once, you know, kind of surprising.
I feel happy that I've heard of all those artists, so that's a good thing. Congratulations to all of them. Award-winning weather today, not so much, but it's more fall-like.
No doubt. Elizabeth Gardner is out right in the middle of it there, yeah, from our WRL weather patio.
So this is going to be so much fun. We're just debuting the weather patio. We're going to be using it to do weather. And just like right on cue, literally about 2 minutes ago, it started raining. So it's raining on me right now. But, you know, we took a look at the radar just a few minutes ago, like 15 minutes ago, and there wasn't anything showing up. So this is just the best way to explain what's going on with the weather. We talk all the time about the fact that we're looking at the radar and there's nothing to see there, but we have drizzle, because a lot of times the particles of drizzle are so small that the radar doesn't pick it up. So that's what we're seeing out here. Nice little drizzle happening. We take a look at Franklinton here. Gray skies. We have gray skies here, of course, here at on the weather patio at WRAL. Our temperature is 62, but it definitely looks like as soon as the rain starts, our models start to drop the temperature. So here in the next hour, we'll likely drop into the 50s, and we'll continue to see these lower temperatures on through the afternoon. It's been breezy out here on the patio, too. Right now, we're looking at gusts at RDU at 22 miles per hour, steady wind out of the northeast at 10. We're going to start to feel those temperatures falling as we get through the afternoon. Gusts up to 20, 25 as we head through the afternoon. And then those gusts, the wind should begin to die down after midnight or so. Here's a look at temperatures. Definitely cooler up to the north, 55 in Roxborough, 57 South Hill, but 75 in Fayetteville and 73 in Clinton. We're actually seeing a little bit of sunshine in our southern counties right now, and that's really allowed our temperatures to warm up. So we have a huge range in conditions across the area. This afternoon, say 3 to 4 o'clock, looking at 57 in Raleigh, 54 in Durham, and 65 in Fayetteville, because of course it's been a bit warmer there. But once we see this band of rain moving through, we're really going to see those temperatures dropping. Here's a look at the radar right now. And you can just, I mean, really, just in the last 10 minutes, we did that hit at the beginning of the newscast, just beginning to see a couple of little specks showing up. And of course, we have that band of rain that's back to our west. We'll walk through Futurecast, and you can see this band as it moves eastward across the area. We'll pause it right there at 2 o'clock. None of it's going to be very heavy, but we'll see the heaviest, say, around 2 o'clock in the Triangle area, around 4 o'clock between Goldsboro and Fayetteville, and then it slips eastward, and that's going to be the end of it. The computer models, interestingly, over the last 12 hours or so, the new runs that we've gotten in have been much, much drier. Take a look at the model run for Saturday. We're looking at sunny skies on Saturday for a a good chunk of the day. We're looking at the potential for a little bit of shower activity that's down to the south, but we may end up being a lot drier on Saturday and Sunday than the models were showing just yesterday. So that's great news for anybody who was hoping to be outside. Temperatures to go along with it, again, we're looking at 57 for today, Saturday 60, 54 on Sunday, but that temperature, we may bump that up a little bit as we continue to see more runs that look dry for Sunday. After that, we're looking at mid-60s into next week with some sunshine. So coming up in about half an hour, we're going to take another look. At the moment, the rain stopped. I think it rained for about 5 minutes out here. Mm-hmm. So like I said, this is going to be fun.
It's nice. Yeah, you can get that first-person perspective of what's happening out there.
Absolutely.
Elizabeth, thank you. A judge rules Flock can't put up any new cameras in our state. Ahead on our news at 5, what's behind the decision and what the company says about it.
Then at 6, a Raleigh family tries to save a home designed by an award-winning architect. How they plan to pick it up and move it across town. And imagine making a phone call or sending a text without your smartphone. We'll explain how a new device could turn the palm of your hand into a screen.
Plus, a 96-year-old veteran fought for our country. Now he's taking on the U.S. military. Why he's suing the Army for a Purple Heart Medal after 70 years.
Live look right now in Clinton. There is still some sunshine to be seen right there in Clinton with this live look there. Some clouds will be moving in, bringing some rain, as we told you a few minutes ago. You can now shop Amazon without leaving Instagram or Facebook. And the Fed says there's still more work to be done to fight inflation. Those are among today's business headlines with Karen Caifa.
Jerome Powell says the Fed is not confident it has done enough to get inflation back down to its goal. The Fed chairman says that policymakers are encouraged by progress in lowering inflation, but the Fed wants to return the annual inflation rate to its pre-pandemic level of about 2%. Right now, measured by a personal consumption index that the Fed watches, the rate is 3.7%. Powell said the Fed will keep at it until it succeeds. McDonald's and Krispy Kreme are in talks to expand their partnership. Right now, about 160 McDonald's locations in Kentucky sell Krispy Kreme donuts. Talks between the two are focused on Krispy Kreme's ability to deliver donuts fresh and on time. And they're discussing what would be needed to expand beyond Kentucky. This comes as McDonald's cuts back on the baked items it produces itself. And by pairing a donut with its coffee, McDonald's may get people to stop in more frequently. And who needs a smartphone when you have an AI pin? Two former Apple designers just launched a small artificial intelligence pin that is designed to replace your phone. It's called the AI pin, and it is the first product from their company, Humane. You wear it on your lapel, and it allows you to make calls, send texts, play music, and it even turns your palm into a home screen using a laser display. There are no apps. You simply access AI services from the internet. The AI pin is selling for $699. Humane will start taking orders for it next Thursday, November 16th. And Meta now lets you buy items from Amazon without ever having to leave Instagram and Facebook's apps. The feature allows you to link those social media accounts to Amazon. Then you can simply buy goods by clicking on the promotion in the feeds. Meta has been exploring ways to boost ad revenue after Apple changed its privacy policy 2 years ago. That change made it harder for social media platforms to target users with ads. And those are your business headlines. I'm Karen Caifa at the NASDAQ Market Site in New York.
Christmas is already in the air at Crabtree Valley Mall in Raleigh. This morning, Santa arrived at the mall along with the Salvation Army Angel Tree. Starting today, families can line up to tell Santa what they want for the holidays and get a picture. Pets can also meet Santa every Monday night leading up to Christmas.
I remember when my daughter was a toddler, she was terrified of Santa, and I never did get a good picture. Wishing you parents some luck there. You can kickstart your Christmas shopping this weekend at the State Farmers Market. The Fall Craft Fair is happening today through Sunday. It features more than 100 vendors offering local products and handmade items. It will be happening rain or shine from 9 to 5 each day. State Auditor Beth Wood is stepping down next month after more than a decade on the job.
She had faced many early calls to resign following charges related to a car accident. Coming up, a look at why she decided to call it quits now.
Also ahead, the scams you need to watch out for as con artists try and take advantage of your appreciation for veterans ahead of the holiday tomorrow.
And a look at your NC Education winning lottery numbers on your screen.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Longtime state auditor Beth Wood says she'll be stepping down next month.
This decision came 2 days after she was charged with misusing a state vehicle, which came to light after she wrecked her assigned vehicle. State government reporter Travis Fain joins us now. Details on this, Travis. The wreck happened in December. Wood had resisted calls to resign up until now, but what changed?
So potentially a couple of things. I'll start with the one that's certain. She was indicted Tuesday, not for the wreck where she hit a parked car last December after a holiday party, but for the scrutiny that followed, which turned up a lot of apparent personal travel in her official vehicle, including trips to a local spa. So after saying she'd run for re-election next year, Wood changed gears after the indictment says she's resigning as of December 15th. The other thing maybe that changed, political support. Governor Roy Cooper gets to appoint Wood's replacement. Whoever he picks, they'll have the inside track to election next year. Maybe that means a Democrat keeps this office instead of a Republican winning against an indicted incumbent.
This got investigators' interest, certainly. They paid attention to this. They were tracking Wood's vehicle movements. They were all in. How'd they do that?
So a lot of state-owned vehicles have GPS trackers in them. And after Wood's wreck, the State Bureau of Investigation pulled up a bunch of that data. It showed trips to shopping centers, a place called the Blue Water Spa. SBI pulled payment records from that business, at least. Wood says she reimburses the state for personal trips, and that's something that I'm sure will get hashed out in court if it gets that far. She's charged with a misdemeanor here, due in court December 4th. Wake County District Attorney Lauren Freeman says she plans to move forward with the case despite Wood's resignation. And ironically, this sort of investigation into state vehicle use, it's the kind of thing Wood's office has done itself over the years, criticizing the state for a lack of oversight on state vehicles.
And I have heard you say it before that Governor Cooper will be appointing a replacement. He has not yet said who that will be, so we'll wait to find that answer. Travis, thank you. Students at Person High School in Roxborough say they're shocked after a teacher was accused of having a sexual relationship with a student. Tyrone Outlaw resigned yesterday from his position as a social studies teacher at the school. He's facing a charge of sexual activity with a student. The lead investigator tells WRAL Person High School notified the sheriff's office after the victim's father came to them with concerns about his daughter's texts with Outlaw. The investigator says both Outlaw and the 16-year-old student later admitted to having sex at a home. He says this is a message to all parents.
Be aware of your kids and where they are, and there's nothing wrong with keeping tabs on them.
Outlaw joined Person County Schools in August as a teacher and assistant basketball coach. He graduated from the school in 2013 and played basketball at Virginia Tech.
Knightdale police are working leads, but there is still no arrest after a mother of three was shot to death right on her front porch. 40-year-old Shanaka Earth was shot Wednesday night on Twain Town Drive in the Widewater subdivision. We spoke with her husband, who says he doesn't believe she was the target. Police say there's no threat to the public. However, no one is in custody. A local family is talking to WRAL after receiving a $1.25 million settlement from the city of Raleigh after a police officer killed their son. Police say an officer shot 30-year-old Sohail Mojarid multiple times in 2019 when he didn't put down a knife he was carrying. No charges were filed in the case. The family says an SBI probe found no fingerprints on the knife at the scene. An autopsy revealed Mojarid was shot 8 times. Activist Kerwin Pittman stood alongside his family in protests that would follow months after Mojarid's death.
Money never equals true accountability. To have true accountability, monetary sum is great, but you must have policy change as well.
We reached out to Wake County DA Lauren Freeman after the Mojarid family expressed disappointment in her handling of the investigation. She shared the following: the Mojarid family suffered a painful loss, and I am sorry for that. But the standard of proof and the issues for which a department or officer can have liability is completely different in a civil case than that in a criminal case. There was not evidence in this matter that would have allowed a criminal prosecution to go forward. The family also wants to see changes within the police department and their use of force. As for the settlement, once most of it goes through legal fees, the father says the remainder will go toward causes his son cared about, helping people experiencing homelessness and feeding the hungry.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Wilson, Nash, and Wayne counties. Wilson County homeowners, get ready to have your say about property taxes. The Board of Commissioners is hosting a public hearing on Monday. They'll talk about the proposed guidelines, standards, and rules for the upcoming 2024 revaluation of real estate property. And the public hearing is at 9 a.m. at the Wilson County Government Center on Miller Road South in Wilson. Work gets underway tomorrow morning on a substation that supplies power to Rocky Mount. It is happening from 10 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. And while unlikely, there is a chance a power outage could happen at some point during that time. There is an outage. If there is one, customers should call 252-467-4800 to report it. The annual Wayne County Veterans Day Parade will take place in downtown Goldsboro tomorrow. The opening ceremony is at 10:45 and the parade starts at 11. The Wayne County Veterans and Patriots Coalition organized this event.
Some Dreamville tickets are already sold out before the general public gets a chance to buy theirs today. This morning at 10, the first batch of two-day passes went on sale online. Festival organizers say VIP packages sold out after people who subscribed to the newsletter got early access. Two-day passes are still available for the festival happening at Dick's Park, April 6th and 7th. This year's lineup of performers has not been announced. Fayetteville native J. Cole created the music festival and regularly headlines. Last year, Drake, Usher, and Lil Wayne performed. We all want to show veterans our appreciation and support.
But there are some dishonest people out there who are trying to take advantage of you as you try to do the right thing. Just ahead, we'll explain how you can avoid some devious Veterans Day scams.
And later, finally, an end to the Hollywood actor strike. So when might we start seeing new movies and TV shows going back into production? Mirrors sold by IKEA are being recalled because they can fall off the wall. 500 Side says this is actually an expansion of a recall from March of this year. The expanded recall includes all sizes of Latan mirrors. The plastic clips that hold the mirrors on the wall can break and the mirror can fall. If you have one of these mirrors, take it down and contact IKEA for replacement wall fittings, or you can return it for a full refund.
As we approach Veterans Day, a warning is out about potential charity scammers. The Federal Trade Commission warns scammers target people who want to help veterans. The FTC has some guidance. First, don't assume the caller ID on your phone is valid. It could be hijacked by scammers. Don't click on links in messages or emails without confirming the origin. Avoid unusual ways to donate, like gift cards or wire transfers. And check legitimacy by typing the organization's name and the word fraud together in a search.
Veterans can get discounts and even free meals today and tomorrow in honor of Veterans Day, which is on Saturday. These are just some of the deals. Denny's is offering a free Grand Slam breakfast to veterans through noon today. Tomorrow, Dunkin' and Krispy Kreme are both offering free donuts. And Krispy Kreme is also offering free coffee, and so is Starbucks. Wendy's will give veterans a free breakfast combo tomorrow. IHOP is offering free pancakes Saturday. And Applebee's will give veterans a free meal if they dine in. For most of these deals, you'll just need to show a military ID.
A meal is not going to cut it for this guy. There's a Korean War veteran in his 90s. He is suing the Army.
He claims he never got a medal that he earned in combat.
What are we talking about here with the Purple Heart?
Oh, I didn't get mine.
Coming up, why he says his Purple Heart just fell through the cracks.
Also ahead, the Hollywood actor who wants to make sure all veterans have a place to call home.
And WRL is saluting our veterans today. You can celebrate your veteran by sending in a photo. Just scan the QR code on your screen or head to WRL.com/yourvoice. We'll be sharing your photos on air throughout our newscast all day long. And we want to say thank you to all you veterans watching right now.
A Korean War veteran is suing the U.S. Army to retrieve lost valor. 96-year-old Earl Meyer filed suit against the U.S. Army for a Purple Heart not awarded to him. Meyer says he has documents to support the assertion that he was wounded in combat in June of 1951. He claims to have shrapnel in his left thigh from a mortar attack.
They started dropping mortars on us, and that's when I got hit. I didn't even feel it. And my pants was sticking to my leg by the time I got out of there, and I just reached down to pull it loose, and one of the guys said, "What do you got in your hand?" And my hand was all blood.
The Army's review board denied his request for a Purple Heart in April, stating there is insufficient documentation. A platoon medic may have failed to file paperwork on it. Meyer was on the hospital ship Repose and was honorably discharged in 1952 as a corporal. He also received a combat infantryman badge given to those in combat under enemy fire.
An organization founded in response to the pain of 9/11 is aiding veterans experiencing homelessness and finding sustainable housing. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation was established by the brother of a New York firefighter killed on 9/11. The organization is currently assisting a group of veterans without permanent housing by establishing a new veterans village in Houston, Texas. The organization celebrated the grand opening of the village yesterday. It features a 161-room hotel and 15 to 20 comfort homes to serve as housing for senior veterans. Actor Dennis Quaid, a significant supporter of the organization, was among the attendees.
They're 500 square feet. They're individual homes, and it'll give our veterans a piece of the American dream back, a dream that they fought to defend.
They took me in. They gave me a lot of love. They gave me a lot of time and effort, and it made my life very fulfilling.
The organization hopes that its efforts to address the growing homeless population will catch on across the country.
Now that the Hollywood writers' strike is over, everybody wants to know when our favorite TV programs will return. The union says the deal is worth more than $1 billion, calling it a deal of extraordinary scope. It reportedly includes pay increases, consent protections for use of artificial intelligence and actors' likenesses. Also, a new streaming participation bonus. Now that the deal appears to be done, industry watchers say the work to get back to work begins.
I think people are going to work harder into the work longer into Thanksgiving week, probably work longer into December than they normally would around the winter holidays. Because, again, I think Hollywood is just dying to get back to work.
Experts say it'll be a work in progress since striking workers were on the picket lines for about 4 months. Littleton and others believe getting the industry fully up and running could take months. We'll see. I know that everybody is, it may be some shortened seasons as well, sure, instead of what we're used to, but anything would be good.
Well, it's starting to feel like how fall should start to feel like, right? Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner ditched us in the studio and now hanging out on the new WRL weather patio. It looks great, Elizabeth.
This is so exciting out here right by the gardens. And so, you know, you get a real sense for, you know, A, how chilly it feels. And it does. It's breezy out here. It is cloudy. And of course, we're watching this band of rain. In my 12:15 weather hit, it started to sprinkle a little bit, but that little patch of rain moved on off. But we do have more moving in right now. So we're seeing some rain around Hillsboro currently, and it's about to move up the I-85 corridor. We'll go ahead and zoom in and take a little closer look at where that is, just north of Chapel Hill, again around Hillsboro, north of Durham, north of I-85. And we did have this little patch right here moved right over the studios, and now it's shifting eastward. But we have all this rain that's going to move across the viewing area over the next few hours. It's likely to be fairly light. Earlier when it came through, there were just a few sprinkles, so we're going to see it fairly light, likely about a tenth of an inch or less with this precipitation that's going to be moving on in. Let's take a look at what's happening out there across the viewing area. It is cloudy almost everywhere. We've actually seen a little bit of sunshine down around Clinton and Fayetteville. Most of the cloud cover is north of that. But we take a look at this view of Fayetteville, and it looks like it has clouded up. That's a look at our newsroom there. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. We've got Apex and Goldsboro. It's been a little bit breezy. We're going to see gusts up to about 20 to 25 miles per hour through the afternoon. Here's a look at the big picture. We have our front that's moving closer to the South Carolina, North Carolina line with this rain behind it. And we'll take a look at Futurecast, and you can see that rain as it moves across our area in that line. So right now we're seeing that from Durham northward, from say Roanoke Rapids through Raleigh and all the way to Southern Pines around 2 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, Rocky Mount, Goldsboro and Fayetteville. And then by 5 o'clock, it's moving out of the viewing area. And honestly, that could be all the rain that we see all weekend. The models are really starting to trend drier. These short range models, this version of Futurecast, you can see Saturday morning at 8 a.m. is dry. Lunchtime, it's dry. If we're going to see any rain, it's going to be closer to the South Carolina line. line where that front is stalled. We take a look at Sunday. The long-range models were pushing all this rain up across our area due to a coastal low, but this version of the models, these short-range, high-resolution models, are not showing that at all. So we're looking at Sunday, a little bit of cloud cover to begin with, and we're definitely trending drier. I would definitely check in with Kat and Mike during our evening newscast. When they get the new model runs in, we'll see if we continue to trend drier, and if so, that definitely bodes well for any outdoor plans that you might have over the weekend. We'll take a look. This moves us all the way out through the end of the day on Sunday. Those rain chances, we're keeping that 40% just to see if we get any consistency on this drier forecast. And of course, football Friday, cloudy skies, temperatures will be in the 50s. We do have a lot of events going on. Holiday Makers Market at Fenton and Cary Saturday, temperatures will be in the mid 50s to around 60. Duke plays at UNC Saturday evening, temperatures will be cool. Game time around 53, dropping through the 40s. Looking at, we're just going to have to see how things go on Sunday, if we can just really remove that rain from Sunday. We need the rain, but it is definitely, it's nice to have the weekends a little drier, and then we're a bit warmer next week.
All right, sounds good. Elizabeth, thank you. This is a big night for one Durham couple.
Coming up, what they'll be doing this evening on national TV. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today.
Former Fayetteville Police Chief Gina Hawkins claims a hostile work environment forced her to retire. A letter from Hawkins' attorney names city leaders and describes specific incidents. In one instance, the former chief says Mayor Mitch Colvin screamed at her regarding police operations.
Raleigh police are investigating a hit and run on New Bern Avenue near North Raleigh Boulevard. A crash reconstruction unit spent hours on that scene. There are indications a man was killed there. We're asking police for information on that man and how they plan to track down the driver.
A major section of Oberlin Road between Pullen Road and Clark Avenue in Raleigh is now closed. Crews are replacing sewer and water mains. Access will be available to businesses and homes in that construction zone. All other traffic will be detoured onto Woodburn Road and Enterprise Street for the next 10 days.
A teacher from Durham will be featured on NBC's The Wall tonight.
Relationships are everything, and it's not enough to just teach with math, with literacy. You got to teach from the heart and let people know, because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Right.
The show spotlights people doing big work in their communities, and they get a chance to win some big money as well. Turquoise Parker is a teacher at Lakewood Elementary School. She started the Bull City Food Raiser after seeing so many families struggling to put food on the table. Parker and her husband Donald will take their shot at winning $1 million tonight on the game show. It airs here on WREL at 8 p.m.
You won't want to miss the Jennifer Hudson show this afternoon. A four-year-old Fayetteville girl will be reunited with her father. Her father, a U.S. Army sergeant, has been stationed in Germany for more than a year. You know this will be heartwarming, so grab your tissues. That reunion is today on Fox 50 at 3 p.m.
Our pet of the day has spent nearly 700 days at the SPCA of Wake County, and he's ready to end that streak. Shiloh is 6 years old, weighs 95 pounds. He loves snuggling with his human friends, but has mixed feelings about their other dogs. Shiloh's past is a bit of a mystery, but whatever happened, he's quite nervous about men and prefers the company of women. To see if this long-timer could be a good fit for your family, please visit spcawake.org.
Coming up at 4, military service members can face unique mental health struggles, and many don't get the help they need. We take a look at ways that you can support veterans every day of the year as we honor them on this Veterans Day. We want to say to those who have served our country, we thank you for your service and your sacrifice. NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great Friday and a good, safe weekend.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.